George introduced me earlier. My name is Chris Piscaglia, and I'm a product engineer on the survey analyst team. And previously working at ESRI, I was actually a mapping specialist, what they call the county, Tonian County, New Mexico. And I was kind of brought onto the team as a land records type person, not necessarily the survey type. So hopefully I can relate to some of your questions and comments throughout this presentation. I'm going to do a quick little slide presentation, kind of a short version of what I do for a tech workshop, and then I'm just going to go right into a demo. And then hopefully you can ask your question, ask questions as I go, or however you want to do it. So I'm just going to start real quick with just land information systems. And pretty much what we have here is just we have some things that make up a land information system. The first thing is just the legal description, the actual record that is submitted to the county. We have title for the land. We have easements on the land. We also have valuation. And this could be a CAMAS system or something like that. And this all makes up what a land information system is. And this is just your typical land record. This is a plat, but it could be a deed or anything else. You're pretty familiar with this. So now I'm just going to talk quickly about what the cadastral editor is and what the cadastral fabric is. So with the original survey analyst product, we developed it with a company called Lincoln, and it was called the Survey Editor. And now we have something brand new. It's called the Cadastral Editor. It's included with the Survey Analyst extension. We haven't done anything with the original Survey Analyst. It'll be replaced in a future release, but it's remained the same. So we have some goals when we first set out to create this new extension and be part of the Survey Analyst extension. And the first thing was to maintain land records. And the second thing was to bring accuracy into the spatial framework of land information system. And we want a productive editing environment specific to land records. So unlike the advanced editor toolbar or the COBOL toolbar, we wanted something specific to what cadastral land records people use. And we wanted to improve the overall accuracy of the boundary network, boundary geometry. And we had a problem. Amelia was talking about it kind of. So, they've done all this work to this GIS, and they also have a bunch of feature classes that have been based on that base map. So how do we update these features now if we're going to improve the accuracy of our whole cadastral? And so we're going to start out with just a surface of connected parcels, and this is similar to what everybody else is maintaining at the moment. We also have dimension value network. This could be a standard line feature class that has all your boundary information on it. And we also wanted to have an explicit topology, unlike the standard topology that you have within the geodatabase. We want one specific just to the cadastral editor. So in this case, even though parcel number 37 shares a boundary with 36, it only has four lines, and so does parcel number 36. The same thing for yourself. So even though these two parcels share a boundary, they still have their own dimensions in between them. So each parcel, there's no overlapping line between the two. And we also are going to store survey control. We're going to use that for least word adjustment eventually. And we can also store things called connection lines. And these can just be ties to monuments, section corners, that kind of thing. So here's the actual model. It's pretty simple. So at the upper level here, we have plants, and each plant has an ID. And underneath the plant, we have parcels, or a group of parcels. Could be actually just one parcel. And that actually has a plant ID stored on the parcel itself, so that relates back to the plants. And plants could be a plat. And a plant can contain many parcels. So here's two records with the same plant ID related to the first plant. And each parcel has its own set of lines, like I talked about before. And it also has a set of points. And we also have control. And how the control is tied to the rest of the network is through an ID as well. So any parcel point can be directly connected to the control or can have a tie to the control point. And so one of the things Amelia was talking about, I really like this presentation, by the way. He was talking about two surveys that are supposed to be sharing a boundary have different dimensions on them. And so what we can do is we can introduce control points and then we can do at least squares adjustments. So in the cases where they were trying to kind of estimate the best fit line between two opposing surveys, we can perform at least squares adjustment to get a best fit scenario. And so the least squares adjustment improves the coordinates of the whole cadastral fabric. It shows where additional control is needed through a report. It finds mistakes in the data. So this will actually look at certain dimensions and lines and say, hey, you may want to take a second look at this one. Maybe entered wrong, or maybe the actual survey plan has a mistake on it. And one thing, this is probably the most important thing I can say during this slide presentation, is the original records on all the lines are never changed. They're always maintained in the database. So even though the shape of the represented on the map isn't necessarily what the record plan attribution should be, we never change anything on the lines. And so this is what I was talking about with other feature classes, sewers, road center lines, even easements. We can make these features subscribe to the changes we make in the fabric. And so we can do a feature adjustment on these other layers. We also store all these changes. So anytime the least squares adjustment takes place, we actually store these vectors in the table so they can be used to adjust the other features. And we also keep these in the database for historical purposes. And that's pretty much all I had for the slide presentation. So I'm just going to go right into a demo now and explain that data model and how the fabric works a little more. Okay, so I just everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
I just opened our catalog up, and you can see here we have something new. It's called a cadastral fabric. It's located within a featured data set inside of a geodatabase. So if I right-click on the fabric and I go to its properties, you can see that we have a bunch of different classes associated with this fabric. So the first thing I want to show is parcels. You can see all the different fields. These are just standard fields that automatically create when you create a cadastral fabric. Although you can create custom fields here as well. You can extend the data model that way. We also have a tab here called associations. And what we can do here is add those feature classes I was talking about that can subscribe to the changes we make in the fabrics. In this case, I've added an easement feature class. And this is that same fabric I just showed in catalog. I just added to ArcMap now. And so right here, here's that easement feature class I was talking about. I can just zoom into that area. You can see I've just created a little subset of the actual easements. It's just the polygon feature class. One of the first things I want to show is just how you can do a simple parcel split. So what I've done is purposely remove some of the line work here for this particular cul-de-sac I'm going to enter. But first all I want to do is just identify a line. And when I identify this line, you can see that not just one line got identified, but two did. Because one line belongs to the actual parcel that was split. The other line belongs to the parcel on the outside. And if I expand one of these lines, you can see that it has a two in the front point. It also has the parcel that line's associated with. And in this case, I just put a pin number on there. And it also has an accuracy. Now, this accuracy is actually taken from the parcel. And if you want to change the individual accuracy on each line of that parcel, you can. And these accuracies are used for these squares adjustment. So I'm just going to select one of the parcel I'm going to split, and I'm going to say I'm going to start editing first. And I'm going to say modify. So what we're doing here is actually extracting this parcel into what we call a cadastral job. These are all stored within the database, so you can open this job at any time and extract the same parcel. And you can see here that we have a plan called Highland Lake Section 3. And this is the only parcel I extracted, so that's the only one that came out into the job. I can go to the lines, and this is every line that's in the parcel. Like I said, this never gets changed unless you specifically change it. I'm going to right-click the plan and go to this properties, and I'm going to change my circular curve format information to accept tangent curves. And these can be overridden at any time as well. And I'm going to right-click it, and I'm going to say new from parent. So now what we've done is we've extracted the parcel once again to an unjoined space. So basically, lower left is 0, 0, similar to what you would see in CAD if you were working in a local coordinate system. And what we can do here is just start entering a series of bearings and distances based on that original plan. So as you can see, as I type this information into the grid, you can see this being drawn on the screen. And I can put some radiuses in. And you can see this auto-populating as well as I go through the grid. So we've actually streamlined this process quite a bit. So if you know that your plan is contains tangent curves, it'll go pretty smoothly. And I can change directions of radius curves. And I can just start entering this call set. And for purposes of the demo, I'm just going to digitize the rest of this. So you can see how I started entering some curve information. We can also digitize this environment, unless your boundary is actually really precise and accurate. This isn't going to match the record exactly, but you can also go into here and change any of these values as you go. And like I said before, none of this information has actually changed. It's always maintained this way in the database. So what I've done is I hit the build button, and I've actually built those lines into parcels and points. And when I hit the save button, it actually puts it right back to where it belongs because we've extracted it from one of the parcels in the database. And any of these parcels you can rename at this point. You can actually change dimensions on any of the lines. You can see that now we have radial lines built from wherever we entered a curve. And I can call this spot one, for example. Now I'm just going to go ahead and finish this job up. And so we've posted all those changes back to the database now, and now it's included in the International Fabric. Now when I go to select the parcel, I'm also selecting the underlying historic parcel. And we can choose to show these at any time or not. So I can just right-click on the actual fabric, go to its properties. And I can go to its history tab. And now I can say show only the current parcels, the active parcels, or parcels within a date range, if I like. So now when I go to select it, it's only selecting one because I chose only to show the current parcels. The next thing I want to do is actually go to an area where I have a CAD file. So I've just added a CAD file to ArcMap. It's a DWG. It's right here. And we can actually go ahead and borrow this geometry, I call it. So I can actually just, and if I hit the full extent button, if I zoom to the full extent, my code is gone. If I were to zoom out, you can see that this CAD file was just placed in an arbitrary space because it wasn't actually in a coordinate system. So what I'm going to do is just use a standard selection tool. I'm going to select those lines. And I'm going to deselect some features. These are just annotations that were outside of the line. And I'm just going to use a standard copy. And I'm just going to paste these into a job. So I'm going to say, I'm going to zoom back to the actual fabric. I'm going to zoom into an area that CAD file belongs in. I'm actually just going to modify this parcel again. So I'm creating another fabric job to do this. I'm going to right-click the plan, and I'm going to save instruction. I'm just going to simply paste those lines into the grid. So what we've done is we've just inversed all the geometry that I copied. So this may or may not exactly match what the record value should be. So these can be changed. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to build. And I'm going to save. So now all these parcels that I just copied and pasted aren't actually going to go where they're supposed to because they had no reference to the actual fabric. So I can actually just right-click one and say join. So now we kind of have a floating geometry. It's almost like a spatial adjustment tool. And we can actually just click points on the new geometry and correspond it with the point of the fabric. We don't have to do this for every single point because we have a tool called AutoJoin. What this does is it's going to pick up any other point within distance from the line. And you can see here that those blue lines represent new points on the new geometry that don't have a fabric point corresponding with them. So we're going to put something called a line point there. And we're not actually going to split the parcel that we're joining to. So we've joined some new parcels to the fabric. You can see here there could be some slivers and gaps. We can fix those with a plan structure constraint, we call it. So we enforce that topology. So now we have some new parcels in the fabric. And what I want to do real quick is just show you the job look. So I created two jobs. The first was that split, and the second one was the CAD copy pins. So we can always go back to these and open them up. So I've just opened up first job, you can see this is the parcel that I split up earlier. And you can also do this manually and call whatever you want. You can call them by the actual subdivision name or the deed or whatever. The last thing I want to show is just a least squares adjustment. And this is that area where I added the easement feature class. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to zoom into a corner of this adjustment area, and you can see that this control point is actually lying off of where it should be, or where the fabric is this fabric point isn't lying on the control point. So what I'm going to do is just select some parcels for another job, and I'm going to choose to modify this again. So this is just creating another fabric job, and you can see all the parcels that are in that job, as well as some right-of-way parcels. And I'm going to click the adjust button here. So what this is going to do is that I know this data is somewhat inaccurate, and it's on purpose just to show the feature adjustment. So what I'm going to do is just up this tolerance a little bit. So what this is going to do is it's going to report any lines that have, or any points that have to shift more than 5 feet from this particular adjustment. When I click OK, you're going to see there's an actual maximum shift in this particular adjustment of almost 16 feet, which is pretty bad, but we're going to go ahead and accept this adjustment. So now if I zoom in close to where that control point, now you can see it's coincident with the fabric point. I'm going to go ahead and finish this job up. Okay, so now we have a problem. We had that original feature class, that easement feature class based on the fabric, so now it's falling out of alignment. So what we can do is we can actually adjust that feature class. If I zoom in really close, I can show you a little better. So here's that gray easement, and then here's the new location of the fabric. And if I go ahead and adjust, can see that now that easement feature class has used those vectors from the least squares adjustment to adjust itself to the new change. And we're just going to go in that and we're going to finish with that. So that's the least squares adjustment. That's pretty much it for the demo. If you guys have any questions, go ahead.
Or the actual geometry, or if that was something that's in the CAD. you know, how to those points for your shape areas change, and the lines have changed, how are you maintaining the actual report of the articles?
Right, so every time you run on these squares adjustment, what it's going to do is it's going to try to move the geometry closer to the true reference value within a line. So if you had to, say, warp a CAD drawing to fit into a fabric, when you run with these squares adjustments, it's actually going to use the record values on the lines to get them back to where they should be. So it's an incremental improvement every time you run with these squares. So we're not actually changing any of the record values, but we're changing the geometry to better fit them. If that makes sense.
It does make sense, but you are
right. It, we haven't actually changed the recorded length. We changed the actual shape length.
Okay.
Right. So what I'll do is I can just zoom in real quick and turn off that feature class. Identify one of these lines. You can see that the actual bearing. This is I should have in quadrant bearing format. This is North Aspen. It has a distance of 194.388, and that's what should be on the record. So if the plat said, that's what the plat should say. If you look at the actual geometry, the shape length, it's actually 194. So 0.53. So it's 2 1/2 of a foot off. So basically what we want to do is probably run another least squares adjustment. And this distance will not change. The shape length will change to better fit the record. So basically what you're seeing in the map is a record, is your best fit representation. And when you extract one of these parcels, so if I were to actually select this parcel, modify it, and then open it up, we're drawing this parcel based on what the record says it should be. So this drawing right here, it can actually not look like what it is in the map.
Basically, one of these squares can be because primarily
right, right. It's the best fit scenario. So if, and this parcel can exist as on floaters as well. So if you saw that there was a big misclosure in this parcel, you could actually save it with that opening. And we actually render it in the map as a closed parcel as well. So you don't necessarily have to close all your parcels. And I can just show that real quick too. So if I did, if I created a new parcel here, and I'm just going to digitize this, but I can actually have a parcel with a slight misclose right here, save it, and when I go to join it, it'll actually still have that misclosure. But we'll still draw it as a parcel. So what I've done right there is you can see that even though doesn't close a form a closed parcel, we're still rendering it that way in the map for representation purposes. So unlike, say if you're using a standard editing tool and you drew a bunch of lines, you have to actually close those lines in order to form a new polygon. We don't require you to do that. Right, so basically what we've done is we've just given it a generic number here, so this is parcel number one. And they can be changed just by opening the parcel up. And here's all the standard attributes that we give when you create a fabric. I've actually added one called block. You can change these at any time. You can also join these, relate them, just like you could a standard feature class to other tables as well. So you wouldn't have to maintain, say, your ownership table within the fabric. I probably shouldn't be using the software for a demo, but it's actually Beta 9.3, so I actually have that tool available right here. So it's called, we call it Parcel Namer.
Parcel Namer.
This is what we call it right now. So if I actually use that, I can just click on a parcel and then double click on the next one. and I can number these from the sequential order, so I can start at number one. And you can see here is actually changed them. I renamed that one within the same job, so I didn't do it for both. But yeah, it would work for a block, so.
So what are all the new people coming in here?
These are a couple things. Just actually, these are not. These are actually about SP3. Just to be able to add a line point. So if you don't actually split a line, but you want another line to join to it, you can actually just add a line point with this tool, and that's delete line point. We're gonna have something called a point reporter. So this will report any errors, possible errors in the data, and give you a listing of them so you can actually check some parcels. One of the things we do for data migration is actually put those points on the parcels, and so we order them. And so this is a way of just troubleshooting those issues. This will actually become a developer sample as well.
On your district, you can just mean that the authority selected the parcels show the previous parcels.
Right.
Edit on there. You also have history for these squares.
We keep those vectors around, so you can actually track future adjustments that way. But with the least squares adjustment, we don't allow you to actually go back to a previous one because there could have been adjacent parcels that were affected by another least squares adjustment. So what you would do in that case is select all the parcels that you want to readjust and then just do in those specific. There's nothing wrong with running more than one of these squares adjustments. It's actually encouraged to iterate through that there. So if you run, if you ran out a bunch of areas and then combine them all together and ran one big least squares adjustment, it would be the equivalent of running it on. Yeah. Any more questions? Yeah, you can choose multiple layers, annotation feature classes too, or annotation classes. One of the things with the actual feature adjustment is that it's actually rubber sheeting. It's not actually running another least squares adjustment type adjustment on it. So it's actually just using the standard core rubber sheeting functionality. But since we draw a vector for each individual coordinate move, it's pretty accurate to what you've done in the least squares. The only time it could be skewed slightly is when you have a series of long tangent curves. That's just because that's how rubber sheeting algorithm works.
Just one.
Oh, sure.
Is one of those feature classes there just considered a standard polygon feature class?
You talk about within the fabric?
Well, like say now I want to say I've fixed my fabric and now I want to give all my polygons to the GIS department or somebody else.
Yeah, so anything that I've associated with the fabric is just a standard feature class.
What was the question?
So the question was, if I wanted to, say, just transfer this feature class to another department, does it act just like a standard feature class? And it does, that's what it is. It's all it is, a standard feature class. The only caveat with the associations tool is that you have to associate a feature class within the same geodatabase in order for it to be adjusted along with the fabric. but it doesn't mean you can transfer that feature class by simply copy pasting it into another sheet of data or attaching it on the email.
And when you're editing in a job, say, do you have the full set of standard editing tools to choose from?
No, you don't. So the question was, yeah, the question was, can you use the standard editing tools while you're in a cadastral job? And the answer is no, because we have a set of specific tools just for the cadastral editor. So there's a variety of different tools too. So I'm in a job right now where I perform any kind of an edit on a parcel. We have a set of custom tools, break line parallel, angle length. You can enter, of course, anything with just the standard COBO. Anything with the standard COBO tool, what you pretty much can do with the editor. There's no limitations there. It's just we have a specific set.
So like your standard default from your typical default and then working with your back together.
Right, so the question was, does Topology work with the fabric? And it does. We don't allow Topology to actually edit the fabric. So standard geodatabase Topology. You can use it to locate errors or gaps or left slivers, that kind of thing. But we don't actually allow you to edit any of the fabric classes with Topology. It would have to be standard feature class.
You have multiple jobs over.
Even if you can create a job manual, but the question was, are those jobs always in the database? And they are, unless you're in an SDE environment. So when you finish a job and you commit it, you post it, and write itself in the database, the job's considered committed, and you have to actually uncommit that job. That's the only difference.
Okay, if you have any more questions, you can hug the room for a break.